It's Free Talk Live. You are welcome to join us here on the radio. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype. So Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
Of course, lots of stuff in the news that we think you'll find interesting, including some terrible news out of the darknet marketplace world with Alphabay, ostensibly one of the best, most successful underground darknet markets.
It was the largest.
That has now gone under, and the founder, he's dead. Or the alleged founder is dead. We'll tell you. Yeah, we'll tell you more about that coming up here in moments. Your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome. But first, in what seems like some pretty big news, Daryl, there's some sort of nasty things going on out of Washington, D.C. as normal.
Right.
But they are now threatening other countries if they don't hand over information about travelers. Go ahead and give us a source.
Yeah, where's article that comes from Reuters, and they were actually able to obtain the cable. And I'll post the link to the article plus the link to the cable on the Facebooks and the Twitters. The story says the U.S. State Department will require all nations to provide extensive data to help it vet visa applicants and determine whether a traveler poses a terrorist threat, according to a cable obtained by Reuters. Countries that fail to comply with the new protocols or take steps to comply within 50 days could face travel sanctions.
Travel sanctions.
Yeah, they don't specify exactly what that means.
Because sanctions
in the article
can mean
here.
Like we don't let food go into your country.
Sanctions could also mean we are not going to allow any commercial flights to go directly into your country from
like
our country.
Cuba is one of the examples.
No, they've recently rolled that back. Towards the end of the Obama administration, they rolled back. There are now commercial flights into commercial flights into Cuba.
That's good to know.
Now, it's still restricted on who's allowed to fly into Cuba. You still have to, you know, like fit some kind of criteria. You can't just say, yeah, you know, I want to go to Cuba and have lunch in Havana because I've never had lunch in Havana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to fit some kind of standard, but, you know, there's still kind of a sanction. But, you know, again, sanction could mean a wide range of things here.
All right.
The article continues. The cable sent to all U.S. diplomatic posts on Wednesday is a summary of a worldwide review of vetting procedures that was required under President Donald Trump's revised March 6th executive order that temporarily banned U.S. travel by most citizens from six predominantly Muslim countries.
The one that was overturned? Or the later one?
No, the March 6th one was initially overturned, but then allowed to partially be implemented.
Mm.
The memo lays out a series of standards the United States will require of other countries, including that they issue or have plans to issue electronic passports and regularly report lost and stolen passports to Interpol. It also directs nations to provide, quote, any other identity information, end quote, requested by Washington, D.C. for U.S. visa applicants, including biometric or biographic details.
So basically, they're using their status as this destination country where people from around the globe want to come to visit family or, you know, get a job or vacation or business meetings.
Right.
And they're saying, you either give up the information we demand and you adhere to the set of standards that we have for your passport, which means now RFID chips in other countries' passports. I don't know how many of them have them so far, but I suspect, you know, some of the more developed countries, Western nations do have them. And so now they're saying that, you know, any country in Africa or the Middle East or whatever, you got to have or at least have a plan in place to launch RFID technology and have all these other requirements in order for us to even approve any visa applications for your country.
Right.
And not hit you with sanctions.
And if you don't provide this for every traveler that we request it of, we will hit you with sanctions. And again, including biometric details.
Right. So fingerprint, retina
scan,
whatever they
want. Retinal scan possible.
Whatever they want.
The cable sets out requirements for countries to provide data on individuals it knows or has grounds to believe are terrorists, as well as criminal record information.
Yeah, further, I have to say, I really did not enjoy the process of coming back into the United States when Mark and I went down to Mexico for an Acapulco. Coming back in was not fun. You know, it was a very lengthy, annoying process with a lot of lines and waiting. And I feel like they didn't catch a retina scan, but they were like getting pretty invasive with what they wanted from people as you came back in. And they would like take your picture at this little booth. So not like a booth that was occluded from view, but they had like these little standing computer things. You had to like check in. You had to scan your itinerary or whatever, the ticket from the airline. Right. And then it would literally take your picture at that location.
Wow.
And so, I mean, there's some definite like databasing going on here. There's some, you know, real invasion of any kind. There is no such thing as privacy in this process.
Right.
And I'm surprised they didn't ask for a pinprick of blood and a retina scan while they were at it.
Well, the retina scan will be for the next generation. Because they're already used to it, because they are already implemented it in our schools.
Are they really?
Schools. I know that my daughter, and I found this out a whole year after it had already been implemented.
In New Hampshire?
They checked into school. This was Tennessee.
Tennessee, okay.
They checked into school via a fingerprint scanner.
They had that back years ago.
And they were getting ready to implement it onto the school buses so that I went in to sign her in.
Where's
one morning.
The retina scanners?
Well, that's...
You said retinal scanners.
Yeah, it's coming because they're already used to signing in every morning just...
With a thumbprint.
So I went to sign her in to school one morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I need to sign? And he's like, oh, no, we've got that covered. And they pulled out a little thumb pad from under the table, and Sasha went... And she was signed into the school.
Welcome to the machine, kid.
I was like, how long has this been in place? It's been a whole year. We sent you the information a year ago.
I'm surprised they only said a year because I feel like I remember.
This was 2008.
Okay. All right. I feel like, I mean, maybe I'm misremembering, but I swear, I know that at one point they had a punch pad at the lunch counter when I was in school, and I'm pretty sure they upgraded that to fingerprint technology. Maybe it wasn't when I was in school, but shortly after. And that was, you know, I got out in the late 1990s out of government high school. But I'm pretty sure they've had, like, you know, for the kids that get their lunch or whatever, that have an account, whether they're getting the free lunch or they got money in an account or whatever, that they're using that thumbprint. And they've been doing that for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that the retina scanning technology is just too expensive. They're not using that right now.
Well, not yet.
Expensive? Well, they're going for it then. As long as it's for the kids. You know, they keep, you know.
We got to keep the bad kids out.
We got to keep the bad kids out, the ones that have been deemed the druggers and the gangbangers.
The article continues. Further, countries are asked not to block the transfer of information about U.S.-bound travelers to the U.S. government and to not designate people for travel watch lists based solely on their political or religious beliefs.
Hold up. The U.S. government asked the other countries to not...
This entire thing is about the U.S. government demanding other countries do stuff.
Right. That's what I just wanted to make sure that I was hearing that right. They were demanding that they not block somebody based on politics, but yet they're saying you should block for all these other reasons. Is the idea like, oh, well, we're going to block you if you don't do X, Y, and Z, but don't block anyone because of their politics, is what they're saying.
Or their gender.
Or whatever, yeah.
No, I just threw that in there because that would get them in a heap of trouble.
Earlier on, what it said is you have to give us, foreign country, have to give us, Washington, D.C., information on everybody coming into this country.
Right.
And
what was the last sentence you just read?
Don't put people on a watch list based solely on political or religious beliefs.
That's what the U.S. government told to the other countries.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure that was clear. 855-450-FREE like freedom, because the U.S. government certainly does that stuff. 855-450-3733.
Well, it's not based solely on.
Okay, fair enough. More coming up. Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us on the radio. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username here is lrn.fm. So don't hesitate to reach out to us if you want to comment on the new travel restrictions being put into place by the U.S. government on every other country in the world that yes. has a passport or that they will issue, will consider issuing visas to the people from those countries. We're going to get further into that. You're welcome to comment, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You don't need money to do business on Simbi.com. Simbi is a slick and easy-to-use marketplace where you trade your talents for other people's services and abilities. You can forget the old economy. This is your economy. It's Simbi.com, S-I-M-B-I, Simbi.com. You won't believe the diversity of the services available right now on Simbi.com. Hundreds of thousands of people are acting within the symbiotic economy. You can get your account at Simbi.com, take a look around, and post your services, Simbi.com. As we go to more to the story here from, I'm sorry, where was this, the source on this?
Reuters.
Reuters with an exclusive story about the Trump administration demanding from other countries detailed information, which may even include biometric information.
Correct.
You know, thumbprints or all of the prints or whatever, retina scans. Who knows? And they'll demand this information in order to issue visas to people from those countries to allow those people to come here for personal or business reasons.
Well, that they're requiring so that they can determine whether to issue a visa.
Well, right. I mean, if they don't get it, they're probably not going to issue the visa. Right.
Right? But even if they do get it,
they still might
there's
not.
No guarantee that they're going to
sure.
issue the visa.
Yeah, of course.
And again, the U.S. government has demanded that other countries not designate people for travel watch list based solely on political or religious beliefs. Doesn't say that can't be a factor for why they're on the watch list. That just can't be the sole reason they're on the watch list. The cable says this is the first time that the U.S. government is setting standards for the information that is required from all countries, specifically in support of immigration and traveler vetting. Now, let's sort of dissect this a little bit.
Sure.
Because it says in support of immigration and traveler vetting. Those are two completely different things. Immigrants are people that are moving.
They want to stay here.
To somewhere. And travelers are some are people that are just visiting somewhere.
Right.
But those two things are handled by the same department, right?
The issuance of a visa, whether it's an immigrant visa or a traveler visa, yeah, it's handled by the same department. But again, it's not the same thing. These are completely different things, and you know, if there's going to be some entity that determines who can immigrate or travel, you know, you should realize that these are different things. There should be different standards
each. But it both entails people coming into the country. It's they're so they are kind of the same thing. Different results, but ultimately it's people coming into the country.
Okay, and based on that logic, the guy that works at McDonald's and the guy that walks in to purchase a soda and use the Wi-Fi...
They both enter McDonald's.
They're both entering McDonald's, even though it's for completely different purposes. One's going to be there for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and the other guy's going to be there for 20 minutes.
But if you were worried
about...
both
of them, you should wind up, you know, give us your criminal record history.
Initially,
you need to fill
yeah.
out
well,
an application.
Don't you do that when you employ for a business anyways?
I don't do that when I go in to buy a drink and use the Wi-Fi for
okay.
10 minutes.
Okay, but I'm saying
I
that...
I missed having
I
am, you guys on the air
I
together.
Am saying that at the
So
at
you're
the
saying
beginning.
That everybody that wants to go buy a burger from McDonald's should
no,
have to
you
fill
said
out
that.
A criminal history
you,
report.
The guy who works there, yes. The guy who goes to buy a drink... No.
They're both entering McDonald's.
I think this
well,
is
that's
dumb.
How the government's going to look at it. They're looking at it as somebody wants to come in. We're going to vet them all the same. I mean, that's the way they're looking at this, right?
That's the way they're looking at it. And I'm saying that they're looking at it completely wrong because
Conan's not defending that.
It sounds like he is.
He's just saying that's what they're doing. They're treating people exactly the same, whether they're going to come here temporarily or whether they're going to stay. Anyway, let's move on.
What else?
New requirements are the latest in a series of steps taken by the Trump administration that they say are being taken to better protect the United States from terrorist attacks. You know, and this is going to wind up causing 90% of the country to wind up being like, oh, it's okay because, see, they said we need this to protect from terrorist attacks. We've got to make sure that the guy walking into McDonald's to buy a hamburger fills out a criminal record report.
It'll make people feel better.
To make sure that he's not going to wind up robbing McDonald's.
And if something happens in the next month and they didn't do this, then they won't be able to say, well, look, we were trying to put these steps into place to vet both immigrants and travelers, but you wouldn't let us. And guess what happened? Airport got bombed.
Even though there's not been there's nothing to base this off of if we don't have this.
Well, there's one big one that did happen, and they keep bringing that one up, and they're going to continue to bring that up for the next 100 years until they, you know.
9/11.
Which was?
9/11.
Oh, you mean the people that had visas that overstayed their visas?
But they didn't have this organization in place, these regulations to have vetted those individuals.
Right. Well, that's why George Bush said we need the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we need to just keep, you know, adding on more government, even though the last government agency that we created prevent us from this thing that we didn't prevent 15 years ago.
Yeah, and this won't prevent the next one either. I mean, it'll just, you know, there's going to be somebody who gets through. Their background check's going to show them clean because they've been clean their whole life, right? Like they have become radicalized because of bombings in their home country.
Right.
Innocent members of their family have been murdered by the United States government and their allies.
See, I actually thought the thing that Conan was going to mention was the underwear bomber guy wasn't on a flight out of the United States. He got on a plane in some other country. And he didn't actually blow anything up. He just, like, tried to light his underwear on fire
He was just smoldering.
Right.
No, so, like, all of these weird things that have been implemented of why you've got to take your shoes off in the airport and do this and do that, it's all based on...
Unless you've gone through their pre-check.
Suspected threats. And I've got an appointment next month to wind up qualifying for the pre-check.
That's where they give you a good anal... you know, examination, check your background real detailed, and then you don't have to take your shoes off anymore, right?
I don't know what all's involved, but...
You're gonna find out.
Yeah, you know, I had a preliminary background check to qualify for meeting with some Canadian authority in Stansted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you going to Stansted for?
To wind up actually being verified for the pre-check.
You have to go to Canada to get through the U.S. pre-check?
Because it's part of something called Nexus that allows you to, like, go into Canada easily.
So you've got to drive up to Canada and go to Stansted?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
I vaguely recall something about it, but geez. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. You can comment on the travel restrictions if you want. It's Free Talk Live.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want. All you have to do is dial in toll-free and join us here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. If you're on hold, bear with us. We are encountering some internet difficulties here at the studio. Hopefully, a little router reset will solve the issue because we have a remote way that we take our callers, and we can do it the old fashioned way, where we, you know, have the board op, please, blah blah blah. But they should be back up here shortly. Do want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. For those of you that do have internet access, unlike us at the moment, you can go to Bitcoin.com and get you know, all the details you need on what Bitcoin is all about. I've been sending people over to Bitcoin.com recently here in the Keene area, and they're getting set up with Bitcoin wallets and learning the basics about Bitcoin. Then you can go further than that. Maybe you're experienced with Bitcoin. You want to get the latest Bitcoin news. They've got a great news section. In fact, I've got a headline here from Bitcoin.com tonight. That's where I'm going to get the story from about Alphabay, which was the darknet marketplace that got shut down recently.
Number one online market.
I believe it. So Bitcoin.com, great headlines, really useful information. They've even got games you can play over there and a forum where you can get interactive with other Bitcoin users. So head over to that one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. It's Bitcoin.com. As we continue here, you can bring up anything that you want. Daryl, you've been telling us about this news story from Reuters where the U.S. federal government is putting pressure on other nations in the world, saying,
yes,
you will either give us the information that we are demanding about the people who want to get visas, the people who are looking to travel to the United States, or we're just not going to approve those visas.
Yes.
And they're talking about possibly biometric information and whatever other nosy, you know, we're the state, we need to know everything,
yep,
kind of information they demand. Whatever arbitrary decisions they,
right,
they want.
And again, the Trump administration is saying that these new requirements are needed to better protect the United States from terrorist attacks. However, former officials say much of the information sought is routinely shared between countries, including examples of passports and additional details about particular travelers that may present security concerns. However, John Sandweg, a former senior DHS official who now works with the firm Frontier Solutions, says that some U.S. allies are worried about privacy protections if the Washington government is seen as seeking information beyond what is already shared.
Mm.
He says, quote, "I don't think you can ignore the political aspects of the unpopularity of the current administration that puts political pressure to stand up to the administration." The cable lays out
risk factors.
I wonder
what they would do. I mean, how would they stand up? Would they just be like, "Welp, sorry, citizens, you can't travel to the United States anymore because we're not willing to jump through their hoops"?
And here's an even bigger question. Would these other countries even have come out in opposition if it had been Obama?
If it had been Hillary or whatever. Hold that thought.
And I'm saying no, they would not have. This is another case of protest against Trump. This is another case of Trump hate.
I don't know.
That's a
I
good
don't
question.
Know.
That is a good question. Let's talk to Perry though. He's on the line here, and our internet's back. Perry, you're on Free Talk Live in Needles, California. Hello?
Yes. What I wanted to say is that I think that they don't go near far enough. If
Ooh.
Somebody believes in Sharia law, or they believe in you know, like if they're from these countries where they have terrorists and or even countries that have a lot of gang members, I think it should be. And believe me, I'm not for big government. So when Homeland Security came in, I wasn't really for it. But
you're for.
But
let me just make
America,
sure I'm understanding what you're saying so far. You say on one hand, you're not in favor of big government, but on the other hand, you want to keep anybody out who is a Muslim.
Well, until I voted for Trump because I'm an American. Okay, I believe in this country. I believe in capitalism. I believe in liberty, less government, less taxes. Okay, that's where I'm at.
Except
I'm not a Republican
when it comes
or Democrat.
To
I just believe in the Constitution. I believe in liberty.
So you
believe in
liberty,
rights.
Except when it comes to the liberty of people who are Muslims who might believe in Sharia law. Do you even know what Sharia law is?
I know that for a fact. That it's kind of a secret that they don't want out.
No.
But a lot of these Muslims, a lot of these Muslims, the men, they beat the women. They don't let them have a driver's license. They don't let them have passports to get out of their country. They beat the women very badly. Very badly.
Okay, so
I know some rednecks that wind up abusing people as well.
Right. So
should we ban rednecks from the country?
I think that's a great idea. Actually,
this country would go down in population significantly.
We've got domestic gangs. We've got problems in our own country. We've got racists. Yeah. We've got problems. No,
so you
want to
have a
problem,
small
but
government, but at the same time, you believe that the government should grow in the area of enforcing people not coming here.
Well, I think that providing that they're coming here and they're actually not going to be taking welfare and doing all these things to bring us down.
Most people coming here to visit don't take welfare.
To visit.
I'm talking about people that are from countries that have terrorism. Yes, we got to be careful because.
So don't let anybody travel as a visitor to the United States if somebody from their country has participated in what you deem to be terrorism. Well, because you understand that this is applying to everyone around the globe that just wants to visit the United States. People, I've never been to New York City. I want to travel to America and visit New York City and go to the Empire State Building.
Or Disneyland. Or
those people who are traveling here for 2 weeks on vacation are going to have to jump through all of these hoops and hurdles that are applying to people that want to move here for the rest of their life. And you're okay with that because Trump and somebody might be a terrorist.
Well, you've got to be careful because... it's going to ruin. Believe me, we won't even have any people to come over. Want to come over and visit us? We get start getting blown up. We're going to lose everything. We're going to be done.
Okay, so you believe that you believe that people are going to?
Let me just be like in New York.
Perry, I just want to understand what you're saying here. You're saying you believe that there are right around the corner a bunch of people who want to blow places up in the United States, even though there's no real evidence that that has happened significantly since 9/11, but you believe that there's this.
What did Madonna say? What did she say? The socialist, communist, Democrats that are out there. But didn't she say she wanted to blow up the White House?
I have no clue what Madonna said. I don't pay attention to what Madonna says.
But she lives here, so you're saying that there's all these.
She should be shipped out of this country. She should be investigated by the Secret Service.
Well,
do you agree with that?
I don't personally really
Where would she be deported to?
I love this country. On my mother's side, my family's been in this country since 1717. Hmm. I love this country. I want to see it grow.
Okay, well, if we're doing a genealogical penis measuring contest, my family's been here since 1609.
Okay, all right. Perry, I need you to settle down here for a moment.
I don't want to be blown up. I don't want to be blown up.
Yeah, it's fear-mongering what you're doing here, okay? What you're doing here with this I don't want to be blown up thing. Are you really that scared? I mean, when you walk out of your house...
No, I'm not scared. I'm not scared, my friend, but...
Well, then why don't you choose freedom? I mean, you say you support liberty.
Look at these other countries that allowed them in. Are you looking at that now? Are you looking at...
Huh?
The refugee countries, I think he's referring to.
What about?
I know, but are you looking at it? Have you seen what they did to England?
What are you talking about?
What? Who?
With that concert? They just had a concert here.
Oh, you're talking about the blowing up at the Ariana Grande concert? That?
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah, is that what you want to hear? Is that
here's how you stop that from happening. You get the hell out of the troops out of the Middle East. How about that?
Yeah.
Not just the Middle East, the other 900 bases as well.
What do you think about that, Perry?
You think we can reason with those people, huh? We can reason with
yeah. The first thing you do is you say, "Hey, we're going to stop blowing you up." That's the first step. You want to stop being afraid of being blown up in the streets? How about you support stopping blowing up those people in the streets? Thanks for the call, Perry. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. Because he admitted he doesn't feel scared when he leaves his house.
Yeah.
But what if there were planes dropping bombs from the sky on you?
Let's talk about the hospitals and the weddings being blown up in Syria and Yemen and Afghanistan. Let's talk about that.
855-450-FREE like freedom. Join us here. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want. The number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have waiting for you there. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
And don't forget, if you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can shop with us at shop.freetalklive.com. You enter Amazon through the links you'll find there, Amazon US, UK, Canada. And just get your shopping taken care of and feel good because Free Talk Live gets a portion of the purchase price when you start your shopping at shop.freetalklive.com. Speaking of shopping, we still have to talk about Alphabay coming up, the darknet market that was recently shut down by law enforcement. We'll tell you what happened ostensibly to its alleged administrator. But first, I think that last call deserves some more commentary. What's frustrating about it, because our last guy that was on the phones was saying that he loves liberty. He wants smaller government. But on the other hand, he loves the idea of the government creating more restrictions and regulations on the issue of travel. And if there's not one freedom that is, you know, one of the more critical freedoms to have, it's the freedom to go from point A to point B. You cannot say you support liberty and then in the same breath or the next breath say that you want to see more restrictions.
Well, if you say, I support liberty, but...
Then you don't
support liberty.
Right.
Because
because the guy on the other side of the equation, the leftist, what was the guy's name?
I don't remember.
Perry.
The left version of Perry would say that, yeah, we need these freedoms in this department, in this area, but not in this one. So they're both, you know, sitting there constantly fighting over basically the freedoms and which ones should be taken from us and which we should be able to wield.
There was a talk radio host that I used to listen to when I lived in Pennsylvania, and he had a rule, and he would repeat it often, of everything you say before the word but gets ignored. And it makes a lot of sense, because people like Perry will say, I believe in freedom, but
Sharia law,
blah, 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 tyranny, tyranny, Muslims, tyranny. Well, bombs. Then you don't support freedom.
No, you don't.
Or... I support lower taxes, but we need to raise them in this guy. Then you don't support lower taxes. So just
be consistent.
Remove the word but from your vocabulary. And if somebody says but, then ignore everything they said before that.
And I think that we were just alluding to the prime cause. The real thing that should be looked at is not who should we be keeping out of this country, but... these terrorists, but why are they terrorists?
Right.
How did they get there? Was
you
it
don't
maybe
get born. You don't
blow
get born
up
terrorists.
Their weddings? Was you it, bomb hospitals, the only hospital in like
by
100
you, you
mile,
mean the government, the federal
right.
government.
But of course, within
like 100 mile radius, kill their children, bomb civilian areas, all while saying we're fighting terrorists. No, that's how you wind up creating more terrorists.
Sure is.
But he's not getting that from his media, because what he heard was they hate us for our freedoms. The freedoms that, by the way, Perry's trying to take from us by enacting more regulations.
He's unwittingly doing, you know, the terrorist's supposed goal. Right?
Yeah, I mean, taking the freedoms from you as well, because you, Conan, no longer have the freedom to go into the airport and wait at the gate for your loved one to get off the airplane. You no longer have the freedom to take a bottle of water through security.
Right.
You no longer have the freedom to do a bunch of things all because of, well, the terrorist might fill
fear.
In the blank.
Because of fear.
Yeah, it's fear coming from both sides, because if it isn't the...
That's how they build the government.
If it isn't folks in the Middle East that we should be bombing, we should be bombing people, or not bombing...
Domestic terrorists.
But we should be going to war with Russia.
Or domestic.
And of course, you have domestic terrorists, and of course, you have Madonna, and then you have the homegrown terrorists, like the Tsarnaev brothers, or whoever else, or the guy who bombed the Grande concert. Wasn't he a British citizen?
I don't remember. But either way. But there's always going to be something to be afraid of.
Donald Trump wanting to send the feds into Chicago because of the gun violence.
And
all of these people that support the right to bear arms and supposedly believe in small, limited government are supporting sending in the feds to Chicago.
Martial law?
The gun violence. Take away the illegal guns in Chicago because there's gun violence.
This is the first I've heard of this. I mean, I don't pay close attention to what comes out of Trump's mouth or the national news generally, but
like something he would have just said at one of his things.
It's not an actual plan.
I don't think there's actually a plan, but there have been statements of send the feds into Chicago.
I wonder what that would mean.
And like, all the small government conservatives are all behind it because
they love government guys with guns, as Mark has pointed out.
If it's gun collection of people who they think are the gangbangers and whatnot, then it's all right. It's cool.
Right.
But as long as they don't take my guns. And then, of course, but if this was to happen, then the next year or so, they go into Chicago and they martial law and they start collecting all the guns. Sorry, guy. Sorry, redneck from the South who loves his guns and has the flag and whatnot. They're going to be coming
You're
for
next.
You. You're next.
Yeah.
With
precedent.
Your Molon Labe hat and your thin blue line flag, it's going to be one of those thin blue line guys that comes to take your gun.
Yeah,
so what
sure
are you going to do?
Keep paying your taxes.
Back to the article from Reuters, and I want to reread the quote from John Sandweg, who's former DHS senior official, now works with the firm Frontier Solutions. Mm. He said, quote, "I don't think you can ignore the political aspects of the unpopularity of the current administration. That puts political pressure to stand up to the administration." And Conan, you asked the question of, would anybody stand up to Obama?
Mm-hmm.
And I say some people probably would, because it was the Obama administration that was wiretapping German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
That's true.
The German government did stand up to the Obama administration
How?
When they found out that it happened.
What did they do?
They released some strongly worded memos and things of that sort and said, you know, like, don't do this again or else.
A limp noodle, in other words.
Mm. Right, but it's more than what people expected, because nobody expected the German chancellor to do anything about being wiretapped by Obama.
Well, when Trump's administration wiretaps Merkel, we'll see what comes of that. I'm sure that there will be more than a wet noodle standing up and
we'll see,
telling down the old Trumpster.
The article continues. The cable lays out risk factors the U.S. government will consider when evaluating a country. Some of these are controversial and could be difficult for a country to prove to U.S. satisfaction, including ensuring that, quote, they are not and do not have the potential to become a terrorist safe haven, end quote. How do you prove that you don't have the potential to become a terrorist safe haven when terrorism is defined as anything that the U.S. government doesn't like?
Apparently, you prove it by jumping through all the hoops. Either you jump through all the hoops or you become a potential terrorist safe haven.
Right, but one of the hoops is to prove that you're not and you cannot become.
Yeah.
So how do you prove?
Total obedience. Total, you know, do what they say.
Countries are also expected to agree to take back citizens ordered removed from the United States. And this is very interesting in light of some current federal court cases, where there have been about 1,400 Iraqi nationals that have been rounded up or on list to be rounded up and sent back to Iraq. They are also members of visible minorities, meaning that if they
in
were
Iraq?
Sent back to Iraq,
okay.
they would be very easily labeled for persecution. So we're talking about Chaldean Catholics. We're talking about Iraqi Kurds, people that, you know, the Saddam Hussein administration were targeting and going after, and the current Iraqi government would wind up targeting and wanting to go after. And there's humanitarian law that says that you are not allowed to deport someone into an area if you know they are the target of persecution or are likely to be the target of persecution. So this statement of, you either agree to take back anybody we say should be removed from this country or else,
violates
is
the humanitarian
clearly
law.
Well, one, it's in violation, possibly in violation of humanitarian law, but directly related to this current batch of federal court cases involving these 1,400 Iraqis that are subject to deportation.
Who administers the humanitarian law? Is that the UN?
Generally, UN, various entities, the ICC, the International Criminal Court. Sometimes you might have an entity like NATO. You might have the International Red Cross step in.
You know, it's bad when the U.S. government makes the UN look good in a, you know, a situation
yes.
like this. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Speaking of international news, we got the Alpha Bay shutdown coming up around the corner in hour two. This is Free Talk Live. You can join us.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free, hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
Free Talk Live. You dial on in toll free. Bring up anything you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
And we've got Skype. You can Skype on in here. Skype username lrn.fm. Coming up, the news about Alphabay has been out there for, I'd say, a couple days now, handful of days. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. What is Alphabay? For those of you who are new to the idea, it's a dark net marketplace. Sound scary? We'll tell you more about it coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE is our toll-free number. That's 855-450-3733. Let's go to the phones to Ohio on Skype where Stefan is on the line. Hello, Stefan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I had another incident in the store on Wednesday, actually. We had talked about this a couple weeks ago, and you said you wanted to know what it was like to catch one of these people.
Oh, okay. You mean the video games.
People?
The video
game store. The video people.
Gamer pirates.
You had a scammer.
Yes, and you had wanted to know how it feels. 9 times out of 10, you will notice that everybody will pull out the same excuse, which is always the same. I found this at a flea market, and I didn't know it was fake. It just so happened to be in with these piles of other worthless games. Mm-hmm. And you hear that all the time.
So for listeners that may not have been tuned in before, you work at an independent video game store in Ohio. Yes. And we found out about this on a recent phone call that you made. And I've been watching the Pat the NES Punk YouTube channel for a while, and he does a podcast called The Completely Unnecessary Podcast with a guy named Ian, who is an owner of a video independent video game store. And they always have these crazy stories about all this, you know, like not piracy like you would think, but scam artistry, basically, where people will put fake labels, the printout reproduced labels onto old Nintendo cartridges to make like a game of Madden, some sort of, you know, very common game, or Duck Hunt or whatever, look as though it is a very uncommon game. Or they'll put in reprogrammed, totally brand new cards into these old cartridges. And for the collectors out there, the collectors don't want, even though it's the same game, maybe, they want the original card. They want the original, you know, McCoy, if you will. And so you were saying you have to, like, take apart every cartridge that comes into the store and identify things on the PC boards inside the cartridges to make sure that they are the genuine article. All right, so with that background, what happened?
Well, you say you have to take apart every game. Usually it's only really valuable games that will do. So if somebody brings in, like, a Super Mario Brothers, it doesn't matter
Real or fake. Yeah, because it's not worth anything.
Yeah, we've got like 100 of those laying around.
Right.
But what happened is this was a particularly bad instance because this guy brought in 4 different valuable games. Mm. And I kid you not, the labels look like they were printed on a standard desktop printer and put on with sellotape.
What?
So you didn't even have to open these ones up. You just saw right off the bat.
They were junk.
And he casually threw them in with, like, he had a couple of copies of, like, World Clash Track Meet, Super Mario Brothers, and there just so happens to be a Snow Brothers in there, which is, like, a $400 game at this point.
I've never heard of Snow Brothers.
Me neither.
It's this ridiculous game. Basically, you play as, like, a snowman, and you throw a boomerang at
things. Is it NES?
Yes, very late era NES, like 1992. But the second I tell him, I look at the box, and I see these, and my blood is boiling. I look at this guy and I ask him why the heck he brought those in when the labels were clearly messed up, because I just wanted to see what his story was. And you know what he said?
Flea market.
My girlfriend gave these to me. These were her games. She had bought these for me, and because I'm a collector, and I'm thinking to myself, if you're a collector,
then you would know.
Yeah, then you wouldn't be bringing them in here.
Right. If he was a collector, he would have been, you know, he would have told his girlfriend, hey, you got scammed because this is junk. This is total bunk.
And the thing is, this is one of the worst cases of it, because most people who bring in like those fake labels, which doesn't happen all the time, but it's mm-hmm. happening more frequently now, they get really high quality ones from eBay, because people sell these labels left and right. And it's right. it's absolutely insane. Anybody can go on eBay and just look up reproduction NES label. Yeah. They'll be everywhere. But these ones just look, and they even have like poor cut marks around the edge. It looks like somebody took scissors and then just sellotaped it down to make it look a little glossy, and there were like rips in the tape and everything.
Now at this point, you pretty much know this guy is not an honest person. Tell him take a hike, bud, or do you say, all right, well, we'll take the legit games and give you, you know, whatever credit that we'll give you?
At this point, I went into the back and asked the manager what to do, because you know, there were some other games in there that looked legit, which could probably bring in a bunch. Like Contra isn't rare, but it's really popular.
It's a good one. Yeah. Classic.
And he came out. I expected him to tell him nicely to get out. He starts screaming at the guy, take your crap out of my store. And if you ever come in here again, we are calling the police.
Damn.
Do you guys make any purchases online? Do you buy like bulk packages of, you know, games? Do you even play around with that? Because I've done it before and it's never really worked out for me.
On eBay, what we'll do is we'll sometimes contact the sellers and ask if they'll take a compromise on the deal maybe and buy multiple items of theirs that they have listed. But typically we don't. Because we have a couple of people who are regular resellers that will come in. They'll find stuff at a flea market, bring it in, we'll buy it off of them.
So you've already got enough to deal with.
Plenty.
Pretty much. There's a group of like four or five people that come in like every couple of days with a bunch of stuff. And it's not just like, it's not just games we carry. We take like old action figures and such, but it's mostly retro video games. And
have you ever had anybody 3D print an action figure and try to pass it off as some kind of old action figure?
I have never seen that happen, and if I did, it'd be pretty easy to figure out, because most, you know, home 3D printers, the filament isn't really high quality. So
yeah, can the home 3D printers do different colors yet? I don't know. I don't follow the technology, so I don't know.
You can put in different color filament.
Can you?
Usually, it's not like that. I mean, I suppose if you were to change out the filament with each layer, maybe you could do that. But
that'd be hard. That'd be very time-consuming, right? Because, on a, like a G.I. Joe or Star Wars figure or something like that, there's different colors involved in the figure itself.
Not if it's a Stormtrooper. Those are all white. Oh, Darth Vader's all black.
This guy.
Not quite.
The little army guys that had the little flat piece of plastic at the bottom, those were all one color.
I think you're right, Daryl. That could be a concern for the future. Of course, you'd also have to have a 3D printer that could generate, you know, different things besides plastic, because some of those old, those old toys have metal.
It's like Duramold. Yeah. And also some
joints
of these
that are metal.
The G.I. Joe's got rubber bands in them to hold them. Tops to their bottoms.
Right.
Well, Daryl brought up like the little army men figures. We don't carry those because they're just so generic. We're talking more like, you know, like Stretch Armstrong and some of the really collectible toys of the 70s and 80s. That's all we'll take. And at the moment,
I wonder how long it's going to be before somebody can 3D print their very own Stretch Armstrong. Because I remember me and my brother had one.
How far would you be able to stretch it?
We got it about 2.5 rooms.
Dang,
through the house.
It's pretty serious.
So I think my brother was in our parents' bedroom. There was a short hallway with the bathroom in the middle.
Huh.
And then our bedroom was on the other end of the hall. And we got it from just inside each room. And then
did one of you let go?
It ripped in half.
the fun fact about the Stretch Armstrong is my Uncle Mike, he actually used to eat the filling that was inside of them, apparently. Because I think it was some sort of like, either it was like some sort of apple filling, but I remember it was like some sort of food, like some oil or something.
Would probably eat it, so that they had to make it edible, safe or whatever.
Well, the kid was out of glue, and you know, next best thing was the apple filling.
So, I mean, how often do these scammers come in, Stefan, in the video
game store? I'd say probably two or three times a month, just because of how big it's getting.
Interesting.
And because it's a slightly, you know, larger area that we're in, so...
thanks for sharing the story tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Glad you were able to let that guy know to take a hike.
Take a hike.
We don't want your business.
You're going on people. Yelp for people. We got your number.
Do they have that?
Not yet. That'll fix it all. They all can't stand it, but in the
reputation.
Libertarian Utopia, right. it is necessary. We need it.
Toll free number here, 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, 855-450-3733. We'll talk about reputation a little bit here with the darknet marketplaces, which are very, you know, reputation is very important there. This is Free Tech. Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us here on the radio. You can take control of the airwaves, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and you can Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
All right, so I want to let you know about Dash. It is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. If you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you really ought to check out Dash at dash.org. It's fast, private, and easy. The fees are low, and transactions are quick and can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is decentralized and run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at dash.org. They've got a headline there right now. Not dashforcenews.com. Why Dash is 10 times better than Bitcoin. I haven't read it yet, but sounds like it's an interesting piece. So head on over to dash.org. Learn more about why there's momentum behind Dash right now. I've heard some exciting stuff from a couple of the Dashers in the area. Here in Keene, New Hampshire, there may be a Dash meetup starting soon. So we already have the Bitcoin meetup in town. We may have a friendly competing Dash meetup. So I think that's a cool thing. And they may actually be getting the Dash people to sponsor it, which is neat. One of the things that makes Dash pretty different from Bitcoin is that there's like this built-in structure in Dash to allow the Dashers, the people that have sort of a stake in the system, the masternodes as they're called, to decide what to do with about 10% of the mining rewards, and they usually put it towards promoting Dash and you know, helping get it into people's hands and helping people learn about it. So I think that's one of the things that really sets it apart. Dash.org, as we go to your calls and thoughts coming up, we'll talk about cryptocurrency in relation to darknet marketplaces, specifically Alphabay, which was recently taken offline. Some people thought it was an exit scam. Turns out it's much worse. We'll get into that. Sarah in Albuquerque, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian Conan and Daryl.
Yes, can you believe that last Friday, Albuquerque Mayor Barry invited autonomous self-driving car companies to test their techniques in Albuquerque? You know, I mean, I'm quite surprised that we got an early start in the self-driving cars. I thought, you know, Albuquerque would be the very last one to do it. We're always the last one to do anything really innovative. So it's amazing.
So you're amazed that the mayor has invited the companies to test in Albuquerque. Have they said they will test, or he just sent out a notice, you know, or an invitation?
Well, I have this letter. He was encouraging all city politicians to encourage self-driving cars. So I guess it means that I'm going to see self-driving cars being driven around here pretty soon. He invited them. So who knows how long it's going to take to get them out there and rolling out their cars.
And you're very excited about the self-driving cars. You've called this show a number of times about them. You're quite afraid of cars. You're a pedestrian, and you are, you know, constantly bombarded on the radio, you believe, by statistics about how dangerous cars are, even though the roads have actually been getting safer over time and cars have more safety features now than ever in the past. You're nonetheless terrified and petrified of these cars, and so you believe that putting computers in charge of them is going to help keep you safe, right?
Right, and I'm just quite shocked that Albuquerque has asked to invite them this early, because we're the, like I said, the very one last one to do anything progressive or any high technology, and we need it the most, because Daryl, I talked to him yesterday. They ran over a guy at 10 o'clock at night.
No, and Daryl, why did Daryl you run someone run over anybody? No, so Sarah called in last night to say that all the time, people get run over by two cars simultaneously. The first car runs them over, and the second car kills them.
I've never even heard of that.
No,
is it true?
Not every time, but it's like almost every other year. Once a year, it's always like first car, or the person got killed by two different cars from two different drivers.
Okay, so once a year is a little different than every time, right?
Well, she said once a year, every time, every other year. So she said multiple different contradictory things simultaneously at the same time.
Yeah.
Immediately after one another.
That's confusing.
But here in Albuquerque, the first car runs them over, and the second car runs them over, too, and they're dead. You know what I mean? I hear this all the time.
Except only once a year.
I mean,
or all the time.
The thing about it is kind of like, if my dream comes true, because how many times did I talk about, you know, self-driving cars killing kangaroos and moose, how they're going to detect
is
that?
Is there really a kangaroo problem in Albuquerque?
Probably not.
No, but
no, that was last
Australia,
week when she was listening to Australian NPR.
Them.
All
right, so here's they have to program the alcoholic crossing the street. That's the problem.
I'm curious about this mayor. Is he inviting these companies to Albuquerque as a publicity stunt, or is it maybe for compensation to use our streets? You pay us such and such. Or is it?
I do not know what the deal is. What the big motivating factor is, really.
Because, I mean, how do you feel about the fact that these cars might not be good to go just yet, and they're working the bugs out, so they might be more dangerous.
You could be one of the bugs, Sarah.
You could be the next
sometimes
bug.
Sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield.
You might get hit by two driverless cars.
Albuquerque Journal says that Mayor Barry sent a strong message to companies developing and testing driverless technology. He issued an executive instruction directing the Department of Municipal Development, the city's legal department, and all other agencies of the city to promote self-driving vehicles in Albuquerque. He told the Albuquerque Journal, it is in the city's interest to support the development and advancement of this technology. It makes sense from an economic development standpoint, from a public safety standpoint, and from a job creation standpoint. It can provide new research opportunities to our universities, and it sends a strong signal that we are a forward-thinking community.
So it's just fluff.
But it doesn't say necessarily if he's going to use taxpayer dollars to pay these companies to come into Albuquerque, if there's going to be some kind of tax credit, or if he's just saying, hey, guys,
we've got roads. Come on
down. We've got roads and a lot of sunshine. Come over here.
Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Good luck out there in the streets. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Yeah, I mean, the self-driving car thing, I get why it's attractive. I would understand, and I would appreciate being able to have more productivity time. Like, I like the idea of being able to catch up on emails or whatever instead of having to drive somewhere. But I also like driving. I like the ability to, you know, kind of be in control of my destiny and not have, you know, a machine doing that for me. And you want to talk about public safety. One of the concerns I would have is that if the cops decide they just want to go ahead and pull you over to the side of the road, they'll probably have some sort of access to where, oh, there's auto number 147B, QZ, let's hit the stop button on them, and then you just pull right over to the side.
They can already kind of do things like that with OnStar, where they call up OnStar, hey,
they'll disable you.
This car, we need you to disable it.
Yep. So that, to me, is creepy.
Scary.
And 855-450-FREE is the toll-free number, 855-450-3733. Coming up, what's even scarier is what happened to Alphabay, the darknet market. We'll tell you about that coming up.
Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Buying Bitcoin? Do it here. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Our forum is always open and censorship free at forum.bitcoin.com. There's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com. Yeah!
It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited to join us on the radio waves here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got a YouTube channel. You can go and watch the show live when we're live 7 to 10 at night Eastern Time every single night of the week, all 7 nights. And you can also watch later on whenever you want to, because the archives go up pretty much right as soon as we're done with the show. As soon as I remember to turn off the encoder, usually, is when the archives start going up. Sometimes there's like a half hour of just dark studio footage at the end. But anyway, it's free. What do you want? Go to youtube.freetalklive.com. You can watch us there, or you can just go to our cam page if it's during the live hours. Go to cam.freetalklive.com, and you can see us there as well. Of course, we've got archives, audio archives, that go back for like a decade, and we don't really know what's going to happen to the audio archives, given they're hosted with SoundCloud, and they are going through a bankruptcy right now. So hopefully somebody's going to snap them up at pennies on the dollar and not take down their service, but there is a possibility that sometime in the next 2 months there might be a brief interruption in Free Talk Live downloads while we switch to a new host.
What are the other alternatives?
Libsyn is the big player out there. We used to use Libsyn, and then SoundCloud came to me years ago and said, hey, we'll give you a free account if you would host your archives with us. And so I said, all right, that sounds pretty cool. I kept the Libsyn account open, though, so I've been paying for that just to host the back archives that were always sort of on Libsyn. I didn't want any of those links to break. So I've continued to pay for a Libsyn account, but what I haven't done is continue to upload archives to the Libsyn account. So, you know, whenever I stopped using Libsyn, that's the last of the archives that were uploaded to it. I've just been sort of maintaining that level of whatever was there at that time.
Right. I'm wondering if something like one of the biggers would swoop down and grab up SoundCloud, like Google.
Like Google, possibly.
I mean, does Google have an audio upload?
I don't know.
Option?
I don't think so. And Brian Sovereign of Sovereign Tech, yeah, former co-host of Free Talk Live, he's speculating that somebody's big company will wind up
snapping it up. There's probably some way to monetize it. Obviously, they've failed at doing that, but.
Well, they do. I pay SoundCloud $15 a month to host all of the podcasts that I upload.
That's true.
Upload.
It is a paid service for most of the people
that use
it. They
have a paid service, so I don't see how they are failing to make money unless they are just that poorly mismanaged.
That must be it, because I heard they had to fire like 170 people or something like that.
Why did they have 170 employees?
There you go. What were they doing with their money?
If they're firing 170 employees, they had more than 170 employees.
Probably more than 200 and something, I would guess, yeah. So anyway, so right now the archives are working. SoundCloud's still online. They haven't said anything to me or you, Daryl. They haven't sent out any kind
Correct.
Of notice to tell anybody about this.
I've not gotten anything saying, hey, just an FYI, you're going to need to find a different hosting service soon.
Yeah, so
which,
we'll see.
Luckily for me, SoundCloud's just one of two places that I upload all of my stuff.
But you know what,
Daryl? Spreaker.
Isn't the last three gyms you went to, didn't they all close down kind of the same way? You just went in one day and there was a cardboard note on the window saying, sorry, we closed.
But that happens. That's like a thing that happens with gyms. And it happened to my mom back in the 80s.
It's not just gyms. There was a restaurant here in Keene that called their employees at 2 o'clock on like a Tuesday and said, yeah, I know you're supposed to be here at 4 o'clock. Don't bother coming in for your shift. We're closing temporarily for renovations.
Why do they always say that? I mean, I remember back when I was a kid, one of my favorite restaurants closed down and they had that sign up, closed for renovations. And those bastards never reopened, and like every time I ever see closed for renovations, the place never reopens. There's a gas station here in Keene on West Street, the old Sunoco
station.
They don't
even have gas pumps there anymore.
No, but they have the sign up when they shut down, like what, 3 years ago or 2 years ago now, that said closed for renovations.
Yep.
They took the gas pumps out, and now there's like graffiti up. So
yeah.
Obviously, you know, nobody's really renovating anything there.
Right.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. Maybe,
they're not fooling anybody.
Maybe they're fooling themselves. It's like, maybe, you know what? If saying that we're closed hurts too much, and
yeah.
We've been running this restaurant for the last 20 years, and I just can't bear to say that it's closed.
But at least the Chinese restaurant that closed down, they were honest enough to say we're closing.
Yeah, we're going out of business. See you, bye. renovations? Like, maybe they mean the renovations of the next owner who buys the place and has to renovate because they're completely changing the business model and putting something new
in there. What level of renovations are we talking about? They changed the sign, they changed the owner, they changed the food.
Well, when Wendy's recently in Keene
closed
down. Oh, they
look different.
And they closed for renovations for like 3 days, but they stayed open actually during most of it, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. They stayed open, and they, on the big giant plywood thing covering the front window, said, "We are still open. Yep. Please come in."
Yeah.
There was the place where we used to have social Sundays here in Keene, where a new owner bought the place, and this was slimy. This was very slimy. So the new owner buys the place, tells all of the staff, "We're going to close for like 3 weeks to renovate inside, and then we're going to reopen."
They did close.
They renovated, and then, 2 years later, reopened the place as a bookstore.
Was it 2 years?
It was a long time.
I don't feel like it was that long.
It was a long time.
They did have it closed for a while. But
it was at least a year and a half.
Well, Alpha Bay is not closing for renovations in this case. They are shut down by law enforcement. And law enforcement, they didn't even put up their bragging page this time. Because a lot of times when law enforcement will shutter a darknet marketplace or darknet website, they'll put up their page with all their logos, their gang symbols, and they brag that this site was seized by a consortium of law enforcement agencies from all these countries, Interpol, FBI, whatever. In this case, they just Alpha Bay disappeared. I think it was last week or something like that.
Yep.
They apparently they went dark on July 4th, and many users understandably expected what's called an exit scam. Now, for listeners that don't know, we should probably define what a darknet market is. Do either of you want to take a crack at it?
Yeah, darknet market is an online marketplace on generally Tor or one of these other deep web sorts of things that you need special browsers to be able to get to.
Right.
You can't find it by going to Google. "I want to buy drugs online." I don't recommend you type that into a Google search at all, whether you're using a VPN or not. But you need special software to be able to get to these dark web markets.
That helps ostensibly obscure your location and also obscures the location of the website that you're going to.
Correct. And
supposedly.
It allows you to purchase items that may or may not be legal where you live. And I'm saying may or may not be because, there are books that you can purchase on these websites.
Right, and some drugs may be legal somewhere.
There are supplements that you can purchase. And yes, there are, things that are classified by various government entities as drugs.
And some countries, some European countries, I know that tobacco is illegal.
Really?
They've
banned it?
Like, I think it was Denmark or one of those.
So you can get pretty much whatever you want to buy on these darknet markets. Some of them had certain rules against certain product categories. Like, I remember the Silk Road prohibited poison. So you couldn't sell poison. You couldn't sell weapons on the Silk Road. And so Alpha Bay was, according to BitcoinMagazine.com, the most... Oh, I apologize. I thought this was Bitcoin.com in the story. Anyway, BitcoinMagazine.com, the most popular darknet marketplace was shut down July 4th. At first, many users suspected an exit scam. However, it has since become clear that law enforcement has taken down the underground market. Now, to explain a little bit more about the exit scam, this has happened before where after the Silk Road, which was the first darknet marketplace, the creator, the granddaddy, if you will, of all of these darknet marketplaces, after the Silk Road, there were a bunch of competitors that sprung up. And some of these competitors existed with the intention of taking people's money from them later on. They created what appeared to be a legitimate competitor. It worked. People were able to buy and sell the things they wanted to buy and sell. And after a certain number of months, the owners of that competitor closed up shop and disappeared with however much Bitcoin was in the inventory at the time, which usually was quite a bit. More coming up.
Yeah.
It is Free Talk Live. You dial in toll-free and bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and our Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
We're sharing with you the fall of the world's top darknet marketplace as of the last week or so. The Alphabay has been taken down. We were just doing some digging there during the break to find out, you know, how long ago was it that Alphabay was founded. It turns out it was December of 2014, so they made it for 2.5 years, basically, which seems to be about the typical lifespan of one of these marketplaces. The Silk Road started back in 2011, was taken down in 2013 in October, and other websites have been taken down since then, a myriad of them. I mean, I can't even remember all of them. So, you know, these services, these darknet services like Tor, the Onion Router, as it's called, or I2P. I don't know if they've taken down any of the I2P-based sites, because I know Silk Road went up on I2P at one point. Or not the old Silk Road, but one of the newer Silk Roads. I think it might have been Silk Road 3, but I don't recall.
And I2P is
the competitor
to
Tor.
Lesser used competitors.
Correct. I mean, there's really only one major used one, as I understand it, and that's Tor. So
right.
Everything else is pretty lesser used in comparison, which is why it was interesting to see a darknet market pop up on I2P in the first place. So Alphabay's been taken down, and it wasn't an exit scam, meaning that it wasn't somebody who was running the site for the purpose of scamming the users. I mean, maybe that was his eventual purpose, but you know, if you're going to go for 2 solid years without doing an exit scam, you're probably not an exit scammer.
Right.
The exit scammers are people who develop a useful site, you know, by all it seems to be working. The people are able to buy and sell the drugs or whatever it is they're looking for. And so it gets good reviews and like people have good experiences with it and they put their Bitcoin into it and then they hold Bitcoin in the wallets there and the site just accumulates a whole bunch of Bitcoin. And then when the administrators decide they're ready to cut and run, they cut the power and or cut the internet connection or whatever. And then they, unload all those Bitcoins. And in some cases, it's millions of dollars worth of Bitcoins. And then, of course, because they're anonymous, because all of the whole point of these websites is to maintain anonymity from both buyer, seller, and administrator, because nobody knows who the administrators are. They've got names like Dread Pirate Roberts or whatever. You have no idea who those people are.
Right.
So they can just go right ahead and do it again. They can take, you know, the same code or similar code and launch that as another darknet market and, you know, garner a new user base and then scam people again if they want to. So that's what people thought here, was that the Alphabay shutting down was yet another exit scam. But as it turns out, the alleged owner was supposedly from... I believe
Quebec.
Yeah, Canada. But he was living in Thailand at the time. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about that. But let's go to the phones first, where Jimmy is on the line on via Skype. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, where are you calling from tonight, Jimmy?
Oh, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on?
I just hadn't talked to y'all for a while. I wanted to call in. I like that old Conan. He's a good dude.
We like old Conan, too.
He's a good guy.
He is.
I prefer young Conan.
Young one? Yeah. Well, I've been having a lot of trouble here lately. I want to give y'all an update.
Tell me about it. What's going on?
Well, I think it's them Jews. And,
what?
I've been listening to y'all. Scott, that guy that calls in, Scott.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to that guy. I mean, just because he calls in doesn't mean that he's, you know, telling the truth. He's a bigot. You know what that is, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, well, he had me worried. I thought maybe it was them Jews that shut down my business.
What business? What's your business?
I had a psychic business. Y'all got any psychics up there?
I don't know. Conan might be into that. Conan, are you into psychics?
I am not into psychics.
No? Okay.
I think we
do have one on the downtown Keene who...
Yeah, really? Right next to where we get all of our mail.
That's a psychic?
There's a psychic that they'll have in there a couple times, you know, like every couple of months.
It's not that Stop Freaking
wait,
psychic.
Why would you
it?
Think I was in the psychics?
I don't know, man. You're into like
you're
know,
into some weird
conspiracies
stuff.
And stuff
How
like that.
How is that a conspiracy?
I didn't say it was a conspiracy. It's just you
that's
know, it's
idiocy.
It's a conspiracy to keep you from knowing the future.
It's idiocy.
Wait, well now isn't it possible that Jimmy could be a psychic and like he could know?
Obviously
stuff?
Not, because his business failed. Did you see that coming, Jimmy?
What?
Did you see your business failing?
No. Well, Conan, come on now. I've just got a different type of psychic ability than what? Most people.
Like what? Like what kind?
Well, this is why they shut me down. I'd opened up a business called the Psychic Warehouse, and everything was going great. But the way I do psychic readings is a little bit different. I read the veins of your penis. And I can tell your future. What?
That is a new one.
Is this a hands-on procedure?
Yeah. Well, what?
Does it come with a happy ending?
Well, no, guys. No? I'm a businessman. Right? I'm very professional. Well, word got out around town. They started calling it the Psychic Whorehouse.
Yeah, so, that's not good for branding.
Yeah, police looked into it. I was not happy. They ended up shutting it down.
Did you end up with a policeman, you know, in his boxers in your office? Or, like, how did that go down?
Yeah, well, he identified himself as a policeman, but he wanted me to continue with the psychic reading.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Well, I was a little bit nervous, you know, because I didn't know what he was there for.
Performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Did he pay when you were done?
Yeah, he ended up paying me, and then he put handcuffs on me. It was a mess.
Oh, that's too bad. So have you been charged criminally with something?
Oh, well, yeah. But, you know, it's they're threatening to put me in jail for prostitution.
What? Prostitution?
Yeah.
Now, that is not... That? Yeah, I would say you've got a case. I mean, if you really were giving vein readings, then, you know, that doesn't sound like prostitution to me. Normally... In order to get somebody for prostitution, there has to be a contract negotiation. There has to be a meeting of the minds on a price for a particular sexual-related service. So you would have to exchange, you know, they would have to say, I want this sex service, you know, a BJ or whatever. And then you would have to say, well, that'll cost you $50. And then they got you for prostitution at that point. But if all you've done is, you know, offer a psychic service of a penis reading, then
vein reading.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I think he arrested me is because I told him, I said, I can see right here that your life's going to be very short. And then he got upset and arrested me.
So he thought that you were making a comment about his size.
Yeah,
is what
the
you're
size
saying.
Of his. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Look here, I'm only interested in the veins, and I'm very professional.
Now, where did you learn this technique?
Oh, at my dad.
Oh, thanks for the call tonight, Jimmy. And by the way, nice to see you pop up on the Free Talk Live forum. And thank you for the call tonight. So yeah, that Jimmy in Arizona, he's quite a character.
Pop up, was that intentional?
No, it definitely wasn't. But he is there. He just posted his introduction, I think it was last night.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. Free Talk Live forum, you can go there to forum.freetalklive.com. It's a small portion of the larger Shire forum, where people will go to kind of let us know that they're coming to New Hampshire. We got a guy coming to visit tomorrow, so we're going to go out to dinner with him, get some of the local activists in the area together for that. So there's a lot that goes on the Shire Forum. I mean, a lot more than it has in the past, I guess, because it used to be dead, like most forums. But there's been some life been breathed back into it, and it's thanks to Free Talk Live listeners like you for going over and checking it out. And great call, Jimmy. Thanks for sharing. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. So we were talking about Alphabay, and we've just barely scratched the surface on what has ostensibly gone down here. On July 5th, apparently there was an international police action that took place in the U.S., Thailand, and Canada, according to the Wall Street Journal. They shut the site down July 4th. On July 5th, law enforcement in Thailand arrested Alexander Kazes, a 26-year-old Canadian citizen who's believed to be one of the operators of Alphabay. On the same day, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police executed a search warrant at a residence in Trois Rivières, Quebec, where a high-technology crime unit seized computer equipment. Melissa Sweeney, the spokes bureaucrat for the U.S. Embassy in Bangkok, states Kazes was taken into custody by Thai authorities, quote, with a view toward extradition to face federal criminal charges in the United States. However, he will not be facing any criminal charges in the United States because he never made it out of that Thai prison cell alive. And we'll tell you more about that coming up here in moments. Hour number three is on the way, 855-450, free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You may dial toll free. Join us right here on the radio waves. Our number, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
Telling the sad story of the fall of a once great darknet marketplace, Alphabay, one of the top, arguably the top darknet marketplace in the world. For those of you just tuning in, that means that it was a online location that one could go and experience a relatively free marketplace, a place where anyone who had something to sell was able to sell that thing. And do it anonymously. Do it to where the seller and the buyer were both anonymous. The operators of the website were also anonymous, although now one of them has allegedly been revealed as Alexander Kazes, a 26-year-old Canadian citizen, or I guess I should say he was a 26-year-old Canadian citizen. He's been found dead in the Thailand jail that he was being held in, pending extradition to the United States on criminal charges. According to the Wall Street Journal, on Wednesday, he was found hanged in his prison cell at the Narcotics Suppression Bureau in Bangkok, Thailand. The death of the alleged Alphabay operator was confirmed by a spokes bureaucrat for Canada's Foreign Affairs Department on Thursday. However, she declined to comment further on the case due to privacy reasons. According to the Bangkok Post, the body of Mr. Kazes was found by a duty officer who noticed a towel hanging from the toilet door in his cell. When the officer entered the cell where the suspect was held alone, he found Kazes dead. Authorities believe the suspect used the towel to hang himself. You buy that one, Conan?
I don't know. I don't know enough about this story. I know it wouldn't be the first time someone was found in the back of the cruiser or in the, you know, in the waiting cell to be convicted, beat up.
I wouldn't imagine
bruises that on their necks or you know hole in the crack in the side of their head. You know, these things happen.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Thailand goons, the cops there, could very well have extinguished this guy. But on the other hand, he may realize he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and
have been executed, because the Thai police and the Thai justice system is not easy on, you know,
drug dealers. Right.
So, you know, he probably realized he was going to die soon anyway.
And what else was taking place on this site? You said you were talking about the Silk Road had rules against selling anything that would cause harm to other people.
Right, so no poisons. No, I believe they had a ban on child pornography.
Ban on weapons.
Well, then the Silk Road did launch a weapons site called the Armory at some point. It was short-lived. It never took off because it's relatively hard to ship guns through the mail. They were shipping them in pieces.
What type of business was this Alphabay?
What were they allowing? Yeah.
So according to this site that I'm at right now, TheVerge.com, they were selling drugs. They were also selling firearms, stolen credit card numbers.
Yeah.
And that's something else that I believe the Silk Road did not allow was personal information.
So isn't that interesting? The government, to supposedly send a message, went after heavily the Silk Road administrators, specifically Ross Ulbricht, who now has a double life sentence plus 40 years sentence.
Correct.
For the dastardly crime of creating this website. And the judge in that case made a big to-do about how she wanted to send a message to the rest of the world and the other operators of these, you know, or potential operators
and
of these markets.
Mentioned this charge, an unfiled charge.
Of
which
murder.
Basically,
for hire.
Murder for hire, unfiled charge. Which means that some government official somewhere alleged something. They've never formally brought a charge.
Right.
There's never been a conviction for this charge. But even if there was a conviction for this charge, when there's an alleged murder for hire where someone does not die, the sentence is 10 years.
So
because of this allegation of something that was never actually filed, never actually proven...
It's
double life sentence plus 40 years.
Well, and you know, beyond that, she would have even if they hadn't dragged the BS murder allegations out, she still would have thrown the book at him to, you know,
of
teach
course.
People a lesson. But the irony is that by shutting down the Silk Road, which had some level of standards as far as what they would sell, they then made room for sites like Alphabay, which weren't so discriminatory,
mm-hmm.
where you could sell weapons, where you could sell maybe poisons or whatever else. You know, maybe there was no restricted category on Alphabay. I honestly don't know if they had any restrictions at all. I have seen the site. It was a nice looking site. The search function, you know, operated very, very well. It was a very, very popular site for good reason. It was a usable site, but you know, maybe they made room for some dastardly people to come in when they got rid of Ross Ulbricht from running the Silk Road, is what I'm saying.
The
government
other,
created a worse problem than they originally
and
had.
The other question, of course, is was Alphabay even legit?
What do you mean?
Or was it one of these exit strategies?
Well, when there's an exit scam, the alleged operator does not wind up dead in a Thai prison.
Well, that's what they're telling us. And I don't know this guy.
Well,
so are you saying that the guy didn't actually die in a Thai prison, that there is no Thai prison? Thailand doesn't even exist, does it?
Well,
it could be
some... Like, how far down this rabbit hole are you going, Conan?
Could be some homeless bum they picked up off the street.
Well, apparently Kazes does have a wife, so you might be able to ask her. He's been living in Thailand, according to BitcoinMagazine.com, for 8 years working as a computer programmer. The criminal court in Thailand issued a warrant for his arrest on June 30th at the request of U.S. law enforcement authorities. According to the Bangkok Post, during the arrest on July 5th in the Tawi Watana district of Bangkok, investigators seized 4 Lamborghini cars and 3 houses worth approximately 400 million baht in total, which is nearly 12 million in U.S. currency. So, I mean, if this guy was just a regular old computer programmer, he sure was spending a lot of his money on Lamborghinis and houses. Alphabay was founded in December of 2014, taking the place of the Silk Road Marketplace, which was seized by the FBI in October of 2013. Now, remember, after Silk Road went down, it was about a month later that Silk Road 2.0 came online, and then about a year from that date... Silk Road 2.0 was also taken down.
Silk Road 2.0 infiltrated from the start.
That's right. That's right. Because the feds had busted one of the Silk Road 1.0 administrators quietly. They then subsumed his, or you know, took over access to his administrative account. So the federal government then had a back door into the administrative level of the
No,
the
they didn't
Silk
have
Road.
A back door. They had a front door. They had a master key.
Yeah, but
plus
no one
they
knew
left
it.
The windows open.
Right, but nobody knew that they were doing that. So they had full access, administrative access to the Silk Road. And they kept their guy, their undercover agent, deep undercover there, thinking, you know, making the rest of the admins believe that he was still, I forget the dude's, who it was. I forget the person that they busted, but making them think that he was still that anonymously named character. Because again, these are just anonymous usernames. You don't know who's behind that username. In fact, the Dread Pirate Roberts administrator account switched from different people over the time frame. We don't know how many people were Dread Pirate Roberts on the Silk Road, but it seems like it was at least more than one of them. And so anyway, somebody was still operating this administrative account. They were still doing their administrative duties. So the federal agent was in there acting as an administrator of the Silk Road all the way through the very end of Silk Road 1.0. And then when the the old administrators from Silk Road 1.0 who hadn't gotten arrested, because first they just arrested Ross Ulbricht, then later they went after the rest of them. So the other admins, including the federal agent that you were talking about, Daryl, they formed Silk Road 2.0, which meant that there was federal infiltration from day number one or day number zero of Silk Road 2.0. They let that one roll for a year before finally swooping in and busting, I think it was Blake Benthal, who ultimately took a plea deal. I wonder if he's been sentenced yet, because I know that Andrew Michael Jones, who was one of the Silk Road admins, who actually came here to Keene, New Hampshire, and visited our social Sundays at one point in the past, I wonder if he's been sentenced. Because I've been checking in on that every few months to see, and last time I looked was like a month ago, and he had not been sentenced yet. So, you know, some of these cases are still in play. And then when they took Silk Road 2 down, it was the month after that that Alpha Bay launched, and they've been going strong ever since until last week. We'll continue with more. You can share your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live. All right, it's Free Talk Live. You can join us here on the radio. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we're talking about the fall of Alpha Bay, the up until about a week and a half ago, the most popular darknet marketplace in the world, where thousands of people on a daily basis were trading Bitcoin. And wasn't Alpha Bay one of the ones that started taking Monero? I think so. I think they made headlines, and they actually boosted the Monero price. Like, Monero shot up as soon as Alpha Bay announced they were officially going to take it. Monero is one of the competitors to Bitcoin in the darknet, or not darknet, but in the cryptocurrency sphere. So I was just looking a moment ago at Blake Benthal, who was ostensibly the administrator of Silk Road 2.0, which again was a predecessor of Alpha Bay. So Silk Road 1.0 got taken down, and then a year later they took down Silk Road 2.0, which was easy for them because they were in on it from the get-go, the federal government. And Blake Benthal was the one who was getting all the news headlines as the alleged administrator. But I was wondering, you know, whatever happened to this guy? Because Silk Road 1.0, Ross Ulbricht, he got a lot of press. We followed that story very closely here on Free Talk Live all the way through his trial. Some of our hosts went to the trial and, you know, were watching it and protesting outside. So there was a big deal surrounding that. And, you know, the news headlines of Blake Benthal getting arrested just sort of fizzled out. I mean, he got some headlines initially when the site was taken down and he was arrested, but after that, it just kind of disappeared from view. And so I pulled up Pacer, which is the federal government's federal court system search tool.
Yes.
And it's a terrible tool that, at the very least, it will give you the information, but they charge you page by page for whatever it is you want to see. They will give you $15 worth, I believe, per quarter for free.
I think it's $25.
Has it gone up to $25 worth? Okay, I thought it was $15. But anyway, they'll give you some amount of money's worth of free.
And there's also a browser plugin called Recap.
Yep.
To where if somebody has looked at the docket that you're wanting to look at, you can view those things for free.
Right.
Because they're, you know, scanned and put into the public archive.
Correct.
And mentioning Ross Ulbricht, he was recently moved out of Manhattan. The family was not notified.
Really?
Until a couple of days later. He's now in Colorado.
In a Supermax or something like that, where they put him, do you know?
I'm on the Free Ross website, where they have finally been able to update the mailing address.
Right.
USP Florence High.
Well, we knew something like that was coming. Somebody had said that they were likely going to move him because now that he's been finally, like, he's gone through his first level of appeal.
Well, he's still got, you know, another appeal or two that he can do.
And supposedly they are going to do another appeal.
Right,
so.
But the fact that they've moved him...
But he's been sentenced, so he can be moved around.
Completely across... Well, he was sentenced before the first appeal.
That's true.
But the fact that they've moved him completely across the country from Manhattan to Colorado...
Right.
Means
mom's got to move to Colorado.
Yeah,
now.
Mom's going to have to wind up moving, and it's not going to really be easy to correspond with lawyers in Manhattan that are filing things
in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
What was the last update on Blake on the Pacer?
Well, that's what's weird, Conan. So I'm on Pacer. I've got the docket here from Blake Benthal's case, which opened back in 2014. And then in 2015, so now more than 2 years ago, in March of 2015, there was an affirmation in support of the government requesting a 30-day continuance until the 22nd of April 2015. There's no further entries since that time.
You got a deal. He's living under an assumed name somewhere. He snitched everyone out, and he's living comfortably somewhere.
That's what makes, you know, I'm very curious to know what that means, and I think it could very well be something like you're suggesting, Conan. And there's, of course, no news coverage of what happened to Blake Benthal. Daryl, you said you found something about a partner of his that might have been sentenced to 8 years?
Yeah, I am not on that page anymore, but one of the other guys that was
the one that wasn't
the operators wound up getting 8 years after pleading guilty to distribution of cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamines.
Oh, I see. Which, by the way, Ross Ulbricht, the Silk Road founder, wasn't really selling drugs. He sold some mushrooms, allegedly, in the very beginning just to kind of get the site started. But otherwise, he was just a programmer. So anyway, we're back to the story about Alphabay, which is the latest takedown. They'd existed for about 2.5 years, starting in December of 2014 after the fall of Silk Road 2.0. By the way, there is a Silk Road 3.0 that came after 2.0, and apparently it's still online. I have not been back to that site. I visited it just to, you know, I've checked out a lot of these sites because I'm fascinated by the darknet marketplaces. And my first thought about Silk Road 3.0 is, well, we know Silk Road 2.0 was infiltrated from day one by a federal agent. There's no reason to believe that Silk Road 3.0 is also not infiltrated from day one.
Yeah, who in their right mind would want to use that brand?
It's amazing.
It's tainted.
But yet it's one of the top five sites right now, according to...
Interesting.
I haven't yet found a list of darknet sites by listing number, because that would be a way to kind of see who's got the most activity.
And that's one of the things that, you know, it's kind of difficult to constantly have an accurate number. You could have a range.
True, it's changing day to day.
They have somewhere around 20,000. They have somewhere around 200. And
well,
I think that Alphabay had close to like 200,000 or 300,000 listings.
Really?
When they were taken down, which is like 10 times more than the Silk Road ever had.
I mean, can you verify that? Because that seems unbelievably large to me. I mean, it's possible, I suppose, because what do we see? A news story recently out of the UK that 1 out of 4 drug users admitted to, when asked, admitted to having bought their drugs on a darknet marketplace.
In the last year.
Yeah, so it seems like it's been getting much more popular, but hundreds of thousands of listings? Maybe over a year, but not in... Not at any moment. I'd be shocked by that.
And I just looked at that facility that Ross is located in, the USP Florence High, is a high security federal prison.
Okay.
There's also a Supermax on the same complex.
Got it.
But they're differentiated. So there's Florence High and Florence ADX.
So Alphabay was founded in December of 2014. Andrei Barisevich, the director of the threat intelligence company Recorded Future Incorporated, told the Wall Street Journal that Alphabay not only focused on the sale of drugs, but also allowed the advertising of products and services that other underground markets prohibited, such as stolen credit card numbers and online fraud tutorials. The researcher stated Alphabay sold more than $5 million worth of stolen credit card information in the first half of 2017 alone. Nicholas Christian, an associate research professor at Carnegie Mellon University studying underground marketplaces, said the total sales on Alphabay had an average of $600,000 to $800,000 per day.
And I did verify there's actually a website, alphabaymarket.com, that says that Alphabay Market had more than 225,000 listings.
That's amazing.
150,000 of them were drugs.
At one moment, at one point in time.
Yes.
Presumably right before they got taken down.
Yes.
That's incredible. The toll-free number here tonight, 855-450. Free, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We continue here. Who will be its successor? Will it be Dream Market? Will it be Silk Road 3.0? Who is the number one site now? Those are two of the top ones. Hansa Market, also one of the top ones. I'm not sure which one of those has the top number of listings. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. We're talking about darknet marketplaces, one of the more fascinating technologies out there in the world that I'm a big fan of because I think it saved people's lives. I think that darknet markets have brought a level of safety to black market drug transactions that have never existed prior to the darknet markets, because they brought a level of competition that never existed, where vendors from around the globe can compete for international business instead of just, you know, whatever street drug dealers there are who might be fighting with violence over turf in, let's say, cities like Chicago or wherever. You have a group of anonymous people who are still in open competition with one another for price and quality and service on these darknet markets. They all have ratings that
and that's the biggest thing, because on the streets, if you buy something from, you know, Johnny down the street, and he says this is, you know, 100% pure fill in the blank, and you get it tested and it's 90%, and you go tell Johnny, hey, your stuff's only 90%, why'd you say it's 100? He's going to not wind up saying, oh, sorry, I was wrong. If you're lucky, he only punches you in the face.
Or you do find a good Johnny on the street who actually sells legit stuff, and he gets taken down 2 weeks later, and then you've got to go find another guy.
Which is hard to do.
Not only that, but, you know, it's the whole thing of, you know, you can actually give reviews honestly without having to worry about your personal safety.
That's a great point. Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that the darknet marketplaces
brought to the
table.
Let's just say, instead of you going to Johnny and saying, hey, Johnny, this stuff was bunk, you tell all of your friends, and then it comes back to Johnny, hey, I've heard you've been S-talking me.
Right. Yeah, that's bad.
You've been ruining my reputation, Conan.
I think it would be very interesting, and they have enough drug warriors out there doing their thing, using taxpayer money, fighting this never-ending war, to just do a real simple, do some simple data collecting. And, you know, so heroin is the big thing right now, all the deaths, all the fentanyl deaths.
Yeah.
And to go through all the casualties and see how many of them were street purchased versus how many of them were bought online. I just want to see those stats. I would be willing to bet that hardly any of them come from people who have done their due diligence, their research, and have bought online from reputable merchants.
Yeah, most of that stuff is going to be the real deal, because they have to compete in that marketplace. Even though they're anonymous, they still have that reputation they need to uphold, because they want to keep getting business from people. So I think the darknet marketplaces, really, they don't get the respect that they deserve. And of course, obviously, drug warriors aren't going to give them respect.
Right.
But they have saved, I'm certain they have saved lives. The only question is, you know, how many? And I suspect it's more than you probably might imagine. But Alphabay's gone. Does that mean it's the end of darknet marketplaces? Well, no, certainly not. Although we are
It's the Hydra. You cut off one head, and five more are going to pop up.
Especially if you can make millions of dollars every year.
$600,000, $800,000
a day. That's total sales. So they were making, let's say, 3% of that.
Alphabay was making 3.5% commission, according to Deep.Web. Dream Market makes 4%.
So, yeah. So, I mean, even at $600,000 per day, I mean, at 3.5%, that's, you know, that's a cool $21,000 per day times 365. They don't take time off.
That'll get you a couple Lamborghinis and $7.6
million in 1 year. I mean, that's not too shabby, right?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
But unfortunately, you know, a lot of these guys, they don't know when to quit. And so the dude had four Lamborghinis, four houses in Thailand, And had he just said, you know, when he got his second Lamborghini and his second house, had he just said, you know what, I think it's time to call it a day. And he could have sold his interest in the site, you know, or he could have just shut the thing down.
And, right, and that was going to be my question is, how do you wind up, you know, getting out? Because if you just close down the site, then everybody...
You put a notice up.
Oh, this was a scam, blah, blah, blah.
You don't
blah,
do
blah.
That. You do what they did with the Agra Marketplace, which is, to my understanding, the most successful competitor to Silk Road. They started up at the very end of Silk Road's run, the first Silk Road, and they ran for like, I don't know, 2 years, maybe three, somewhere in the... Again, it's like 2 to 3 seems to be the length of time these things tend to max out at. But Agra Marketplace, which is an interesting name, it suggests that the administrator might actually be a libertarian, because agora is a fairly common theme within the libertarian movement.
Agorism. Well, agora is also the Greek word for market. Marketplace. Yeah, so he called this thing marketplace.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, but listen to the guy over here.
But it's an indicator that it's likely somebody who's a libertarian, because
the grammar patriot. The,
you know, on the Silk Road, Ross Ulbricht and some of the admins there were libertarians. Ross even had a book club, the Dread Pirate Roberts book club, where he would recommend libertarian reading for the people who are on the site. And so that's just my speculation. I don't think it's an uneducated guess, Daryl, given that one of the admins of the Silk Road came to Keene, New Hampshire and hung out with us. We didn't know this at the time.
Right, but that doesn't mean that one of the admins of Agora Marketplace...
No, it doesn't mean that. But given that that's a word that you really only hear in libertarian circles, I would say that's a pretty fair...
So how did the Marketplace... exit out.
They put up a notice saying they were going to close down after like 3 weeks.
And so they gave everybody the opportunity to pull their listings.
To pull your stuff out. So, and they did what they said they were going to do. They said they were going to close in 3 weeks, and they closed it down, and they never came back. And there was speculation that they had gotten wind that they were being investigated or whatever, because a lot of times, as we saw with the Silk Road, there were undercover agents for the federal government who are selling information to the Silk Road about the investigations that were going on. So it wouldn't surprise me if somebody somehow at the Agro Marketplace caught wind, maybe from one of the federal agents for a payoff, that they were being investigated and said, you know what? We've been in business for 2 years. This has been a success. Let's call it a day. And then they gave their 3 weeks notice, let their users take their Bitcoin out of the system and shut it down and never came back. Whereas every other site either gets taken down by the federal government or they do an exit scam where they run with people's money. I don't know of any others. Maybe there's been one. I mean, I haven't kept close tabs on them because there's dozens of these sites now, so you couldn't possibly follow along with all of them. But, you know, back in the day, there was only like a handful of them. And so it was easier to kind of keep tabs on them. But I don't know of any other sites that exited honorably, right? Like there were people who were either busted and they had to close, or they, you know, were stealing money from people, except for Agro Marketplace. Anyway, some of the users on the r/darknetmarket subreddit on Reddit blamed the vulnerabilities of Alphabay for the shutdown of the website. One independent researcher, Gwern, wrote, quote, an AB vulnerability leading to an IP leak or other de-anonymization issue would not be a surprise. How many bugs were there over the years reported here in this subreddit? Seemed like private messages were leaked every couple of months, and for every bug you see, there's a dozen you don't. I started being surprised a long time ago that AB was still around, and AB means Alphabay, was still around outliving so many apparently better-run darknet markets, having neither exit scammed nor been hacked nor been raided. Perhaps its time was simply up.
Yep.
And so that is the end of Alphabay. But again, as I said, who will be its successor? Which of the top darknet market sites is going to take its place at the top of the rankings? There's one called Dream Market. There's another called Hansa. There's Silk Road 3.0, which just screams federal honey trap.
I'm looking on deep.web. There's one called House of Lions Market.
That's a new one, right?
New-ish.
I was reading the ones that are considered the top markets.
Apparently, it used to be known as Leo Market. And then in the forum, there's a note that says limited opportunity for Alphabay vendors. So they seem to be recruiting vendors from Alphabay.
Right. So if you want to join us here, you can weigh in with your thoughts. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. According to darkwebnews.com, the top five markets were Alpha Bay, Dream Market, Silk Road 3, Crypto Market, which is linked as down, and then Hansa Marketplace. Those were the top ones. And then below that, there are literally dozens more. So there's plenty of choice out there in that marketplace. You can join us here and take control of the airwaves. It is Free Talk Live. Moments remain. Enough time for you. Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll free and join us here. And take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. I should mention that the Free Talk Live AMP program does accept Bitcoin. So, if you've been thinking about getting behind Free Talk Live and supporting us for $5 a month, you can also do that with Bitcoin as well as your credit card or PayPal. So, head over to amp.freetalklive.com, ampamp.freetalklive.com. If you appreciate the news coverage of important events to liberty-minded folks that we do here, the opinions, the pro-freedom viewpoints that you get 7 nights a week here on Free Talk Live, then please get behind the show. Help us get this message of freedom and peace and liberty on as many radio stations as possible, into as many internet connections as possible. Just go to amp.freetalklive.com to get signed up there. And again, you can use PayPal, credit card, Bitcoin. You'll get perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, and the AMP-only Facebook group and more. Go get all the details and get signed up. And also you get the new perk, which is the AMP badge, the Free Talk Live badge for the new Free Talk Live forum. So the other forum members will know that you are a Free Talk Live amplifier.
But it doesn't grant you extra rights, because badges don't grant extra rights.
That's at least at this point the case over at AMP, ampamp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones and then a little bit more about darknet marketplaces. But first, Randy in Oklahoma, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Randy.
Hey, what's your all's background? I mean, your bios and what you are about, how you feel about our security. And I mean, I was listening the other night, and all you guys were really want to do was bash police forces. I don't understand it.
Well, first of all, that's not all we want to do. We are frequently critical when the police do the wrong thing. But if the police get it right, then I will, you know, be the first to praise them for getting it right. I've actually helped the police conduct real criminal investigations here in Keene, New Hampshire, when they were actually looking for real criminals who hurt real people. But when the police are going after victimless criminals, like, let's say, someone who programs a website, like we're just talking about now, the Silk Road, then I've got a real problem with them doing that. So why does my background even matter?
Or even something they do a lot more often, where down near the college on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, as college girls are walking from one dorm to another, they'll wave them over. As soon as they step onto the sidewalk, they give them a citation for open container public. It's not an open container in public when they're in the grass, but as soon as they step on the sidewalk, open container in public.
It's a crime. When they harass innocent, peaceful people like that for non-crimes or victimless crimes, that's when I got a problem with that. And I don't see what my background has anything to do with me having an opinion about that.
Well, I was just asking because, I mean, I listen to you guys. I have for about a month now. And it just seems like there's a lot of talk going on with not a lot of knowledge.
Well, what would you say we're ignorant about, please?
Well, I didn't say ignorant. I just said there's not a lot of knowledge.
Well, when you don't have knowledge, that's ignorant.
That's the definition of ignorant.
And you guys always talk over people, too. That's always a plus.
No, you've had plenty of chance to talk here. We asked you. You said we don't have knowledge. We pointed out that the absence of knowledge is the definition of ignorance.
What are we ignorant about?
It may just be because I'm from the Midwest. You guys are from where you're at. But I just don't understand how you guys can grasp talking about things on only your level to where you think that you're right all the time. Yeah. Is it because you're from New Hampshire and we're from Oklahoma and you got guys calling from everywhere? I mean, it seems like to me, I mean,
I was born and raised in Florida.
I understand Sarah. She's kind of out there. But then you got this Stefan dude who works at some, you know, GameStop kind of place, lives in his mom's basement, and Skypes you guys all the time. it seems like you never get to any real topics.
I'm not sure what you consider to be a real topic. So, number one, you've accused us of being ignorant. We've asked you, what are we lacking knowledge on? You haven't answered. But now you're claiming we don't talk about real topics.
We spent the entire first hour talking about this new cable that the U.S. government sent to every government around the globe saying, give us information on every person that's bound for the United States or else we'll put sanctions on you.
Right. And then
that seems to be a real topic.
And then
to
in
me.
The last hour, okay, we've
so
been talking
guys,
about.
You guys are okay with anybody just coming in and wanting to do whatever they want here? I understand people coming here for vacation. I travel the country, I travel the world. That's what I do. But it seems like you guys are okay with anybody that just wants to come in.
Yeah,
I mean,
freedom,
don't you
baby.
Believe in vetting? I
don't
mean,
you believe
don't you
in
want
freedom?
Them to vet us when
don't
we
you,
go somewhere?
Don't you believe in freedom? No, I don't want to be vetted. I just want to be able to go
oh,
where I want
I
to go.
I truly believe in freedom. I mean, I believe in the freedom we all have and the freedom everybody fought for. I mean, I had two cousins in the Pentagon when it got hit.
Well, you either believe in freedom or you believe in having to bend over for the government. Which one is it?
Well, I don't believe in bending over for anybody, so the government doesn't have anything to do with it.
But
I mean,
yes, you,
like
well,
you
then who do you want to do the security?
It's terrible.
Who do you want to do the security if you don't want it to be the government?
That doesn't mean bending over.
Yes.
I would say taking your shoes off at the airport and walking through a special scanner is bending over.
Well, then I guess we have different views on security.
Yeah, that's right. I support freedom. I support the marketplace deciding on security. If an airline wants to have a certain level of security, then that's their business. It's their private property. But to have the government force a set of security restrictions or qualifications down the throats of every airline, I think's wrong. What about you?
Well, and actually what's happened is back in the 70s, the airlines asked the government to take over security for their airlines because they didn't want to do it.
You there,
well,
Randy?
Then I'm here. I guess we're kind of at a stalemate then.
Okay, well, we can disagree about that, but you also said, you know, we're not talking about real topics, so there was one that Daryl gave you as an example. But the other thing is, you know, we've been talking about these darknet marketplaces, which are a very important topic to those of us who want to see an end to the insane war on drugs.
And the conversation always goes to whoever calls in. I mean, Stefan called in, and we talked about that for 10 minutes, but then
well,
Jimmy
that,
called in.
I know, but I'm a low-tech redneck, so this darknet market stuff, I have no clue what that means.
Well,
so,
that's
but
why
I am
we explain
learning
it.
A lot from you guys, yeah. And I do appreciate that.
Well, that's why we always take the time to explain, you know, what these things are. You know, we explained the darknet markets and what they are when we started the discussion. And as Conan just pointed out, it's open phones every night. So if you feel like we're not covering the important issue that you want to hear commented on, then it's up to you to call in and bring it up. So what do you think? What's your number one issue right now, Randy? What is it
no,
that...
No, honestly, my option. You don't want to know my issue, but no, I enjoy listening to you guys go back and forth.
I do
want to
know.
I'm on a tractor in the middle of a field right now working for you guys.
Well, I appreciate that.
I really enjoy the conversations you guys have. I just wish I was more knowledgeable about where you're at on stuff.
Well, okay, that's okay. That's how. That's why we're having these conversations.
I mean, I'm learning stuff from you guys.
And we learn things from our callers. I mean, I've learned a lot from our callers over the years. And so, you know, hey, we want to make sure that we're communicating when we are talking about a newer concept like a darknet market or a Bitcoin or something like that. It's always very important to me that we can do our best to try to make to boil these issues down, which can be very technical. And
I actually Googled the Bitcoin stuff the other night about 11 o'clock, and I learned a lot about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a lot about that stuff going on here in Oklahoma where I'm from.
There's actually a medical facility in Oklahoma that accepts Bitcoin.
Which one? You know?
I forget the name of it, but we talked about it very briefly last night, and actually one of our friends,
Pete
had a surgery there a couple of years ago.
And he paid in Bitcoin.
Yes, he did.
Of course, the one night I wasn't listening, you guys talked about something there.
So here, just consider this an open invitation. I know you're, you know, a busy man. You're working out in the field. I get that, and I appreciate that. I'm glad that, you know, somebody's out there feeding us. So, you know, there's definitely some appreciation there.
Thank you for your service.
And we don't have to agree agree to have a conversation and to try to, you know, learn what each person believes about various different issues. So, you know, consider an open invitation. If you get a break on the tractor for, you know, a few minutes, call in. Frequently, our weekday shows are wide open phones. So, you know, that's why Stefan gets in every night, because there's nobody else on home. There's no one else on home.
And Sarah.
I mean, that's why you keep hearing from the same people.
Girl,
I mean,
that girl needs some help.
Even though we are, well, she's getting plenty of help from the welfare department. But
that's not the help he's
saying.
No,
I get you. I got you. But you know, we love hearing from people that disagree or with questions or whatever. So, you know, consider it an open invitation. Even though this is a national radio show, even though we literally have 170 radio affiliates from coast to coast, they're not all on at the same time. So some take us on Saturdays, some take us on weekdays, some take us delayed, some take us live. So how many of them are actually live? I don't know. But the you know, the participation level, we'd love to have that increase, and especially we'd love to hear from people that don't always agree. So yes. With that,
well, cool. I appreciate the invite, and tractor drives itself, so I will be calling you guys.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Thanks, Randy, for the call tonight.
I want to know more about these self-driving tractor things.
Another night.
Especially
Another
because,
night.
You know, like John Deere is saying, you can't work on your own tractor because intellectual property.
What
Let's
would,
talk about that.
What would Sarah think about self-driving tractors?
Watch out for the kangaroos.
See you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.